Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, the Gardening 101 workshops are going to continue again here in this coming week with a discussion on bugs, the good guys and the bad guys, because not all bugs are bad. There are some bugs that are good. And there's a workshop that is being held in partnership with the Parks and Recreation Department here in town. And so tell us a little bit more about what we're going to be talking about here on July the 8th.
So I guess the first thing we've got to start off with is talking about insects. 95% of the insects in the world are going to be beneficial or non-harmful to crops or people. And that's really what people need to kind of realize, that there's a lot of bugs that are out there doing a lot of different types of jobs. But it's important to understand exactly what they're doing and how you're able to identify those good guys, but then also how to be able to try to control the not so good or the bad guys. So our presentation from our master gardeners is going to go over about identifying those different insects and then talking about what is called an integrated pest management, or IPM, which is a structure of be able to control insects. And a lot of that is a lot of cultural or mechanical ways to be able to reduce that. And then ultimately is going to be having to resort to chemical control of the insects. And it's really important to be able to look at this gardening and being a steward of the environment when you're out there. You know, we don't adopt the spray and pray method when we just kind of pull out an arsenal of chemicals to be able to spray on plants. You know, you really have to understand their life cycles, what it is they're doing, what part of the plant they're attacking, and then ultimately if you can live with that or not, your own personal threshold. So it's important to be able to understand all of that, and you slowly will integrate that into your decision making while you're in the garden, because you want to make sure that you're contributing to this green space in a way that you're concerned about exactly what you're applying into the environment.
So we're going to sort of give you an abbreviated version of maybe what is going to be presented at this workshop happening on July the 8th at the Multipurpose Center at 9031 Viscount. That workshop, by the way, gets underway at 4 p.m. on that Friday. Mm-hmm. And you can register by calling 212-0115, 212-0115. We also have a link on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org where you can learn more about these workshops, how you can register. You can also call the radio station here at 880-KTEP. We have the information here for you as well if you want to get yourself registered for that Gardening 101 workshop. You'll definitely get a lot more information than from what we can present in about 14 minutes, but we're right. going to do our best.
Right.
So I think one of the bad bugs that we've been seeing sort of starting to present themselves, I've been seeing, mm-hmm. and I'm sure other people have been seeing, you know, the little brownish beetles sort of flailing around on their patio, which I believe are the adult versions of the grub worms that we normally see causing damage in a lot of turf.
Right, exactly. So these June beetles, appropriately named, right, because we're finishing up here in June and right until July, are the adult versions. And what they're doing at this point is they're really active, especially during dusk time, and they kind of bombard you and your legs, or they kind of just swarm at you sometimes. What they're doing is obviously ensuring and mating for the next generation. So essentially, it's going to be almost impossible to control the adult June beetles, but you're really going to set yourself up to control that next generation, or those white grubs that you're looking for that are going to be coming up here in the next several weeks. So essentially what they've done is they've come to the surface, they're mating, and then the immatures are burrowing in the soil and eating your grass roots. And you can kind of see that as a, you know, telltale sign, first of all, if you have the adults around this time of the year, but also sometimes it can also be noticeable dead patches of your lawn can have the grub worms in them. And the really great way to be able to do that is to kind of dig up a little spot or, you know, kick up a little divot of your soil and see exactly where that brown patch is and see how many grubs you have underneath there and determine whether you have to treat it or not.
Okay. Well, first of all, we also need to point out that perhaps your watering might not be reaching a particular point, your sprinkler system. So maybe your brown patches are being caused by lack of water.
Right.
But if it doesn't appear to be the problem, then of course we want you to go out and see if you can dig for the grub worm. So I remember hearing one time that if you do have one of those brown patches of lawn, to dig sort of on the outer edges of it, mm-hmm. because the grubs would be eating their way out. If you dig right in the middle of it, you're probably not going to see anything.
Right, exactly, because they've kind of eaten all those roots up in there. Mm-hmm. Hence, there's no reason why there's no grass growing.
That's right.
On there. So essentially, yes, you are going to do a little, you know, you can use a little small little knife or even a small little spade to be able to get into that margin between the dead and the alive.
How deep do you want to go?
On there. You only have to go about an inch or
an inch and a half.
Okay.
They're not down that deep.
No, they're not down that deep.
Okay.
Because they still have to emerge. And then you want to kind of cut it down and almost slice a little portion of your soil, and then you can pull it back so you don't have to make huge craters into your lawn to see if you have a grub worm damage or not. So kind of cut horizontally and then pull that back and to be able to see if you have your grub worm damage. Now, according to the IPM rules, we don't recommend that you treat for grub worms unless you have 5 or more per square foot. So essentially, you don't have to do a whole square foot of that cutting, but you know, whatever your ratio is, you do half a square foot, then you should have 2.5.
So, you know, people's icky factor may kick in and they're going to be like, there's a grub worm. I'm just going to go ahead and treat.
Right.
But if you do want to be a caregiver for the environment, there's no need for you to be adding these additional chemicals into the soil. You'll probably be doing more harm than good.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, it goes back to be able to see, make sure that you do have a problem to identify that and then go that entire course to remediate that. So definitely keep an eye on that. You know, your healthy lawn is going to be able to, it's well watered. If you've given it, you know, enough fertilizer in the early season, you don't want to fertilize, by the way, right now. It's just too hot and you're essentially going to just
burn
your plants. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to cause uncontrollable growth and you're going to end up mowing your lawn more often than anybody needs
in
or
the
wants
heat,
to.
Right?
Yeah, you don't want to be able to do that. But, you know, there's a lot of chemicals that are out there to be able to look at for white grub control if you're at that point. And you want to make sure that you choose wisely. Sometimes there's chemicals that are out there that are labeled for many other things in addition to the white grubs. Sometimes they'll control, you know, roaches or fleas or ticks or whatever it is. It's really important to be able to read that label to find out exactly what you're trying to control and the appropriate way to do that.
And you were actually telling me before the show started that those labels that you see in the back of those pesticide cans and those bottles, you know, stuff that has any sort of chemical treatment for plants, pests, etc., that they're actually legal documents.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And not many people want to unfold the accordion-shaped label that's behind their little bottle that they buy at the store. But yes, it is a legal document. And when we say read the label, it's for your own safety and for everyone around you as well. So make sure that you take your time and understand what chemicals you are going to purchase, how you're going to use them, and how you're going to store them. Label itself kind of gets wet or tears off, you can be able to look for them online as well.
So, which is a help too if you are starting to get vision problems where you can't read the fine print anymore.
Right.
And almost everything on the back of a label looks like fine print.
Yes.
So if your reading glasses just can't take the fine print, go ahead and look for it online. Mm-hmm. It'll be there. You can zoom in and it should be a lot easier to access.
Right, exactly. And just like anything else, you want to look in and zoom in on whatever it is that you're buying. Look at the actual active ingredient as well, and then look at the best way to apply that. A lot of times if you're going to do a control like for your grub worms, you're essentially going to use a granular pesticide on there, but you want to make sure that you look at your moisture level of the lawn that you're trying to treat. And sometimes it'll say apply to dry lawn, moisture lawn, but essentially what you're going to do is you're going to apply the chemical and then quote unquote, water it in. So essentially you start activating that ingredient mm-hmm. when you put in that water. But, you know, also you can look if your lawn is completely dry. That's not going to do any good. You know, you may want to, you know, even wet that lawn maybe a day or two before you apply the chemical as well. So, you know, look at that and then look into what you're trying to control and how to be able to do that.
So white flies, I understand, are an issue that a lot of people are encountering. So describe a white fly for us.
So it's very complicated. They're little white flies.
How little are we talking about? Are we talking about like a horse fly?
No, a house fly? They're really small. I would say maybe the size of the tip of your pen that you're looking at here today. So it's really a small fly. Those are the adult forms. And they essentially like to suck the plant juice out of them. So very difficult to control. As any adult insect is difficult to control. So if you're growing stuff such as ornamentals that you're not going to eat, that, you know, are just more of a nuisance, you can either let them play themselves out because they'll be gone after this hot weather is done, or you can certainly apply a pesticide to them as well. And a lot of times, if you apply certain chemicals that are soil drenches, what you do is the same thing. You water them in and the actual poison is taken up and translocated through the plant system from the roots all the way up to the leaves, so that when the insect is attacking the leaf, then
they're going to be feeding on the poison.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, that's really one thing to consider if you're just doing ornamentals. And I know that you know, you don't necessarily want to do that when you're doing your edibles. That's another thing. We always go back to our, you know, our really strong water spray. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do the soapy water during the cooler times of the day, really early morning or late evening, essentially what you're going to do is that soap is going to suffocate those guys. But adults, white fly, or even the aphids, you're going to have to make contact with them to be able to kill them.
Yeah, if you have a really delicate plant, it's probably not a good idea to be spraying anything off of it. But that soapy water spray really does help.
Right, exactly. And even if you don't want to put the soapy water, or it's just continuously to be hot, buy a really small little garden hose adapter and kind of set it to the jet spray, and then you're able to get far-reaching places as well. We have a lot of Italian cypress in this town, and those guys are magnets for spider mites. So it's a really nice way to be able to reach all the way to the top of your Italian cypress if you have that nice jet setting. Really easy way to kind of knock off a lot of those spider mite issues.
Because they almost look like weather,
Yeah, and it almost looks like dust, you know, attached to that.
Yeah, because I guess it really does trap all the dust. So it just looks dirty.
Exactly.
So if your cypress looks dirty, just give it a bath. And you're going to take care of some spider mites as well. And I know we were talking about aphids, and I was telling you before the show that I have an ash tree whose the leaves at the edges of the branches are starting to curl in. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing this problem a few years ago, and I opened up the little curled leaf, and there were like some little fuzzy critters in there. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that they were like little fuzzy aphids. Obviously, on a large ash tree, you can't really blast it with a jet of water, because if those leaves are curled up, those aphids are protected. But you were telling me about a treatment that the tree could take up, like you were talking about,
right?
Drenching the soil, and then the poison would be taken up by the tree.
Exactly, exactly. So a lot of those will be labeled as tree and shrub pesticides, and that's one really great way to be able to treat large ornamentals like your ash tree on there. And then that way, it's going to take a while to be able, it's not going to kill those aphids, you know, from one day to the next.
Yeah.
But the good thing about those soil drenches or those systemic pesticides is the fact is they're going to give you a long-term control, you know, 7-14 weeks of control, depending on the type, the label that you use and the chemical that you do use.
Well, we're out of time. We didn't really get a chance to talk too much about the good bugs. But if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, make sure you give them a call at 771-2354, 771-2354, and attend that Gardening 101 workshop on bugs, good guys and bad guys, next Friday, July the 8th at 4 p.m. at the Multipurpose Center. Give us a call at the radio station if you need more information. Thanks to Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.